It's takeaway time. So, Neil, this has been absolutely fascinating to hear this journey that you've gone through. We started with this honest, no BS. What's the deal with catalogs? You've been really doing a great qualitative deep dive research around really trying to answer this question of, okay, people say catalogs are dead, but I see all this demand for them. Like, what is actually causing people to buy them, right? We first kind of started off by going a little bit around the rabbit hole of like, well, you know, 70% of sales decisions result in no decision, and ultimately bitching ain't switching. But you know, what is actually, for the people who are doing the switching, why are they doing it, right? Why are they doing it? And so yeah, you talked about, you know,
it's that, but it's also, if somebody switched and you're still bitching, what can you learn from that person so that you can join them? If that's where you want to go.
Exactly. That's well stated. And you started to kind of define these clusters, and you were starting to see some patterns around, okay, depending on these clusters, who's funding it, right? Is it mostly the C-suite? They're the ones who have the political wherewithal to make the changes, right? They're the ones making the bet. So you kind of narrowed it into these four clusters, right? So I'll mention two of them here, and then I'll hand it off to Juan. So help me comply, right? The data catalog is being used to meet some kind of a compliance need. But ultimately, this is about checking the box. It is a, hey, let me find kind of the cheapest thing that solves the problem. You called it a low energy use case. It's very reactive. Maybe the board, you know, saw some other company in the industry get really nailed with a PR fiasco or a big fine. And they're like, oh, gosh, that can't be us. Let's make sure we get the right solution in place. Let's hit that nail, right? And then you mentioned the second context was, so imagine you're a company that's growing, right? That company needs to hit some target of growth. CMO says, hey, we're gonna hit 50% growth. CDO says, hold on, like, we are not going to hit that. CEO gets involved and says, oh, well, what do we have to do? How do we make this happen? See, I want the CMO reality to happen, not the CDO reality to happen. CDO says, well, you know, we have challenges around our data. And, you know, if I got to provide all the reporting and things like that, the CMO needs to target the right markets and things like that, we've got a lot of work to do. You said that's a higher energy use case. That's actually a more positive reason to kind of pursue.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely the highest energy one. That's, you know, growth and sustaining growth is like the main mandate of the CEO. So they're going to care.
So then we continue on the other ones, right? So the other one is, help me follow the plan, right? The C-suite is involved because something happened and their consultants come in and they're doing some data maturity assessment and they realize they're behind their peers. So you probably promote your first CDO. It's usually internal. They're building a team. They're told per that assessment, they had to go select the catalog. So these are really hard because they ask, like, what are we going to go do with this? So they're trying to figure out what are the actual use cases, and they don't really know if they need a data catalog, and they actually probably realize that they don't need it right now. But hey, what are you going to go say if the C-suite is telling you that we have to go do that, right? So these folks don't have the requirement. They actually don't know why they need a data catalog, but they're doing it because they're kind of told to do. So that's that, help me follow the plan. And then the fourth one is, help me be efficient. So you would only have that single pane of glass. So the efficiency of the data teams, right? Can they provide quality insights fast enough? And a lot of this happens because companies have grown through an acquisition. So that's why data teams are inefficient. There's so many inconsistencies. People are presenting different numbers. Another issue here is that they're competing by hiring another data engineer. Should I go spend on the tool? So I think this is, they'll do detailed RFPs and POCs and stuff. So that is the one that's about helping me be more efficient. But we start kind of going down, the very specific thing is, like, just go help me solve the problem, right? People, I like how you said, people don't want a quarter inch drill. They need a hole, and they really don't need a hole. They want to go put a painting on the wall. The thing we said, their data teams who are like the boy who cried wolf, because unless they don't know what that context is out of those four buckets that we talked. And I love how you talk about the recommendations for companies. If you're in that follow the plan, so I'm sorry, you got bad news for you. You just got to follow that plan and just do as little damage as possible. Compliance, yeah, that's not interesting. Inefficiency, this is the interesting one. Who does this impact in the organization? Who will really notice it? Want to have that crazy idea of give attention to the company, send two different board reports and see what's going to happen. And then on the growth side, how do we deliver data to people who can grow the business? How do we help them? What do they need? I love how you brought up the Eisenhower matrix about the urgent and important, and a lot of the data catalogs fit in important but not urgent. So you need to figure out how to make it urgent. And we wrapped up a little bit on no one buying AI now wants governance. They're in a go mode. So we need to go out and make some mistakes. And at the end of the day, if people are saying we need a data catalog, you really need to ask, do we really? And if so, why now?
Yeah.
How did we do on the summaries?
Yeah, I think you guys have nailed it pretty much. It's you know, it's like you did the research yourself.
We listen to you. All right, to wrap up here, three final questions. What's your advice about data, about life? Who should we invite next? And what resources do you follow?
My advice, I've just spent half an hour or so trying to get some advice. My advice, if you're in a data role, is to go and buy a book about business and read it. It could be anything, right? But go and read something about, maybe read The Art of the Start by Guy Kawasaki, because that's got something about entrepreneurs and people want to be doing something with data. But you know, understand what is it that your business wants to do, because that's how you'll find the right context and hopefully how you'll get the support and the funding and the budget to sort of blow up from there. If that makes sense.
Yep. So who should we invite next?
Oh, who should we invite next? That's a good question. Have you had Samir Sharma on the show?
We haven't. And actually, I've been wanting to. Yeah. Tim and I have hung out with Samir in London a couple of times. He's a fun guy.
Yeah, okay. No, I believe he may have given up his tequila drinking days. That the last time I sat with him in a pub in London and we chewed the fat. So it's I enjoyed having that conversation with him, and hopefully you guys would have much the same on another episode. And then the last one, sorry.
And then finally, what resources do you follow?
So obviously I'm on LinkedIn a hell of a lot, but one of the things I try and do is to get out of that, because we you know, I'm part of the problem here. You're in a little echo chamber agreeing with one another. How do you go and find the people who disagree? Because that's where you actually learn. But the resources that I mainly use, you know, I go back to like books. I read probably a book a week. It's something I try and do. Most of them are business books. Some of them are psychology books. Some of them are, you know, random things that appear as references. But you know, it's probably the cheapest way to learn more that I know of. The only thing it costs is time and, you know, a couple of bucks on an Amazon Kindle or whatever.
Well, Neil, thank you so much. This is a phenomenal conversation, because we really were able to finally tap into everything you've been going through in your research. And I know that everybody who's listening here will truly, truly appreciate this.
Yeah, well, Neil, hopefully add some value.
Cheers. You have a good one. Yeah. Thanks.
I'm going to go and get a proper drink. Cheers.